Right, South Africa outraged by UK's travel terror warning. A United Kingdom travel warning citing possible terror threats in South Africa has caused an uproar. News 24 reports that Pretoria has expressed outrage over the warning, while the UK says it's been in place since 2022 with the US, when the US warned of possible attacks in Sandton. Joining us this morning is Dr. Ahmed Jazbai, Executive Member of the Media Review Network. Dr. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah khairan for joining us on Sabah al Muslim this morning.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran for having me.
All right, let's start off. What specific incidents or intelligence prompted the UK to update its travel advisory for South Africa in January?
I think that that's the whole reason behind the uproar by Durko, by the DG, Zane Dangle, because no evidence has been provided of any sort of threat. It's merely an update of an existing threat, as you pointed out, that has been placed since 2022, since the so-called terror threat against American interests in Sandton. So this is not new, and it's an update or a reaffirmation of an existing threat, which is why Durko responded quite irritatedly or quite angrily, because this many of the threats that are now being issued are issued without without the knowledge of SSA, without consultation of SSA, without consultation of Durko, which is standard practice, which is common protocol in the diplomatic space. And none of these. So one has to look at the reasons behind the reasons, or the real story as to why these threats are being issued now, and really interrogate that, because there's a larger game being played here in the country in relation to, you know, the ICJ and a case and so on against the South African government, which is quite concerning because it ultimately affects South African sovereignty when it comes to our foreign policy.
Now, how does South African government typically handle such travel warnings from foreign countries?
Very simply, when these threats are issued, firstly, as I said, you know, they're issued in conjunction or in conjunction with Durko, with SSA. So they look at, they evaluate the evidence and so on, and they look at whether it has any merits, whether the threat has any merits, and they try to act in conjunction with that intelligence to maybe arrest any sort of suspects if there are any. So that's normal diplomatic protocol. But in many stages, you know, being issued, and we have to look at these various threats. You know, the UK threat being issued, the American threat being issued. We've seen over the last few months, and as later as Friday, where we see this American congressman warning South Africa not to arrest Israelis, South Africans with Israeli citizenship serving in the IDF. You know, all of these issues is something that we need to look at collectively and not in isolation. The DG of Durko and Durko, they understand what is at play here, but obviously they need to maintain diplomatic protocol despite the various incidences, which is why, you know, DG Zane Dangle has asked the UK Foreign Office provide us with evidence so we can act on the evidence, because South Africa cannot do anything if there's no evidence. The South Africans don't have any evidence of any sort of threat being issued, threat posing to any sort of country's citizens here, which is why they asked, let's show us the evidence so we can act upon it. But there is no evidence. So obviously there is issues at play here that we really need to read between the lines and be concerned about the repercussions of these so-called terror threats.
And also, how does the South African government plan to address its request for credible information from the UK regarding this threat? And are there any ongoing diplomatic discussions between the two countries to resolve this issue?
Yeah, that is what normally does. I mean, this won't happen in the media space. There will be discussions with the DG of Durko, even maybe even the minister, if she's available, with the UK Foreign Office, with the UK Embassy, to look at, to resolve, to check whether there's any credibility to these threats. But don't hold your breath, because despite this threat being issued publicly, it is unlikely that the South African government will, you know, allow this matter to be handled within the public space. So we might never hear about this threat. South Africa will just sweep it under the carpet and handle it within the diplomatic protocols, and we might never hear about this again.
And how do recent foreign policy decisions by South Africa, whether it's you know, the Palestinian issue or recent conflicts in Mozambique and the DRC, how do all of this factor into the assessment of the terrorism threats?
This is something within the public domain. You know, you get the Terrorism Research Consortium, familiar so-called terrorist expert Yasmin Opperman. We know the infamous Hussein Solomon. As well, you know, they have been punting this alleged threat from, you know, northern Mozambique, given with an alleged ISIS cell in northern Mozambique, Cabo Delgado, and that since South Africa has been involved in that mission, which is meant to end on July 15th this year, that, you know, we have put that South Africa is now in the firing line of ISIS, so-called ISIS, in Mozambique. So we must look at this collectively. We look at it within those threats, and you know, how that may affect South Africa and may affect these threats from being issued by the US, by UK, and so on. So we cannot view these things in isolation. South Africa shouldn't be involved in Mozambique to begin with. You know, we need to get to the problem, source of the problem in northern Mozambique, which is, you know, the systematic disenfranchisement and oppression of, you know, the citizens of northern Mozambique who are being excluded from the gas wealth, from the gains of the gas wealth within that region. And that's the genesis of the problem in northern Mozambique. But notwithstanding that, you know, that is being used to some extent to legitimize these threats on South Africa, and the UK threat, as well as the US threat. So we cannot look at these things in isolation, as even the outsourced, you know, even the so-called threats from American legislatures. And the story behind the story is that they are trying to influence South African foreign policy to say that South Africa must not play within the realm of the West. And the realm of the West is, you know, don't go after our closest ally, the closest ally in this case being Israel. You can go after Mozambique, you can go after, after Guinea-Bissau, you can go after Russia, but don't go after our closest ally. Israel is a red line. Israel is too powerful and too important for us, so do not go after us. And so these are the threats that I made, the thinly veiled threats to say to South Africa, stay in your lane. You know, even the Lady R saga was a threat to say that South Africa, stay in your lane. Do not, you can help the Palestinians, but don't go after the Israelis, sort of attack. And I think Delco is probably getting the message now that, you know, we don't have the kind of economic power to withstand these sort of things. And you may see South Africa pulling back when it comes to other issues. The ICJ case is in the open, but other cases, May South Africa may stick to its own lane because of the power of Israel and its allies around the world.
Dr. Ahmed, jazakallah khair, and thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights, shedding light on the various factors at play. And it's been lovely chatting to you.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.